God, we say thank you, and I will bless your name this morning for what you keep on doing in our lives and for what you'll keep on doing every day. As we are here to listen from you, we pray that your word will come to us clear, in a clear way, and that it will transform us and it will help us to see you on another perspective and to see our lives through. We bless your name. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning. First, my apologies for my voice today. It is affected by flu. So whatever you'll hear, that is not my voice. It's something else that has been changed. But I'll make sure that I try my best. And I want to say our thanks to the pastoral team again for giving us this opportunity to share the word this morning. And my special thanks to Reverend Joshua Lusenge for this. So, are we happy to be in the presence of the Lord? So, I want you to do something. I want you to welcome again the person next to you and tell them welcome. And this time, do it in your own language, in your local language. My brother from Uganda, I'm a Ugandan by choice, and I'll say, Kulikayo Sebo. Kulikayo. Tukwagala. So I've been given a topic to share this morning. And when it was communicated to me, I was wondering, should I say no to this? Because it seems to be heavy to me. But I hope that God will do what he has to do. So the topic that we have this morning is Christ awaited by a nation living in a very troubled time. Christ awaited by a nation living in a very troubled time. I think most of us relate with this topic due to the season we are in. And the reading will be coming from Matthew Chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. If you have your Bible, open Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And this is what the Bible says. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walks. The leper are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. That's our reading. And I want to come back to the circumstance in which John is in. John is finding himself in a prison during a period of Herod. Please, can I change this microphone? Yes. John is finding himself in a prison in period of Herod. John, when you go back again, you'll understand that John was appointed by Christ. He was chosen by Christ from the womb of his mother to prepare the coming of Jesus Christ. And if we were to make this in our circumstance nowadays, we will say that John was the director of the campaign of Jesus Christ during his season, during his time. But John was not only working alone. He had a team, and the team that we call the disciples. And among the disciples, John decided, because he has been in prison, this guy has been preparing the coming of Jesus Christ, as most of us are preparing for the election And John was preparing for the election of Christ in people's lives. But he found himself in a situation where he's confused because he can't see the Christ he has been preaching. He can't see the kingdom that he has been announcing because he has been telling people, prepare yourself for the arrival of the new king, for the arrival of Jesus Christ. And John said, no, I don't understand what is going on. And John is asking a critical question. And he said, he take two of his disciples, two of the team that is campaigning for Christ, and say, go to this guy. Go to this guy and ask him this question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Because he does not understand. I've been preparing for the coming of Christ, and now the man is here, but we can't see any impact. We don't see the impact, but Jesus responds. And this is the response of Jesus. Go and tell John. The blind man can see. The lame are walking. The lepers are cleansed. And this is the message for you today. Despite the person you keep on waiting in this nation, I want to communicate to you that blind men are seeing. Lame are walking. Because Christ is already in this season. Despite the challenge we can see around us in different cities, I'm communicating to you that Christ is already here. And he has to work. Either you want it or not, he's working. Either you see it, either you don't see it, either you hear it, Christ is working. And he'll continue to do his work despite the challenge in your life. John is on a period that I call a transition period. A transition period, it's a period in which we move from one state to another one. We move from one government to another government. This is the state we are changing the leadership. And this is the season we are in DRC now. Change of leadership, which has become a big issue. We have heard a lot of words that I can't repeat, and I know you know them. So I'll not put the word in your mouth because you know those words. Let me say this. During a transition season, most of us are more concerned with our own interest and not the interest of the nation. And that is the problem, the first problem we encounter in our nation. Everyone is asking, saying, how much will you give me so that I can vote you? We want to be given, we want to receive, but we don't see the big picture, the big plan that the candidate have for this nation. We are ego in what we are doing, and that is a danger. It's a trouble season. We become more fan of leaders than their plan for the nation. If only we could sit and look at the plan that the leaders, different leaders have for this nation, that would have helped us choose to make that change in leadership. Unfortunately, people are not involved in whatever is going on. People are not informed about things that have been said. And why? It's because that most of us, we consider politics to be a dirty game. Game full of liars. Game full of corruption. Game full of dishonor. And that has affected us. And as some of us, as Christians, we keep on saying, oh, no, I choose to be a spectator and wishing and praying that things will change and turn out well. But let me say this. If you want things to change, you have to be involved. If the politics are dirty game, go and play in that game. But stay right in whatever you are doing. Because if we want the politics not to be a dirty game, we'll have to come with value of Christ in politics. And things will change. Let me say again. If you are not part of the solution, somehow you are part of the problem. Ask your neighbor, are you part of the solution? Or are you part of the problem? Ask him, confirm that. Listen to what Jeremiah 29 verse 7 says this. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it because of it. If it prosper, you too will prosper. So it doesn't matter either you are a foreigner or you are a Congolese in this nation, in this season, your prosperity relate to the prosperity of this nation. And you have a role to play. The making of this nation is God's agenda. And his people who have, and we as his people, we will fulfill God's agenda. So you have to be involved. You have to be in touch with everything that is going on in this nation. It's hard. Things are getting worse and worse, but you have to be part of this. God has chosen you for this specific season to be here where you are right now for a reason. So choose to play your role in this nation. Let me say this. Congo is in pain. Congo is crying and make you, and that pain is too much for us to bear. I want you to think of a place in Congo that can say, I have peace. If someone of us, among us this morning, if there is someone who can just raise his hand and say, I'll mention a city or a village that is not crying, then I'll be celebrating with you. John is finding himself in a period of pain in prison. He's finding himself in a period of trouble. And he does not understand. And he sent two of his disciples, go and ask this question to the master. Are you the one to come, or should we wait for someone else? When John is sending someone, he is at a point of pain. And let me tell you, there are three things that pain can do to us. That's my point of view. The first thing is that pain can isolate you. Pain will isolate you and put you on a corner where Satan will say, you are alone in this. Whatever you are going through, there is no one else going through the same situation with you. Pain will isolate you and think that you are alone. But let me tell you, you are not alone. There is an army fighting with you. There is an army rising to say, you are not alone. And Jesus keep on telling you, do not be afraid, for I am with you. The second thing that pain will do to you, the pain will make you a sprayer. A sprayer is a someone who keeps on blaming others for what is going on in his life. You think that others are the people causing you to suffer. Pain will make you think you are a sprayer. You are not a sprayer. There is a reason why you are going through what you are going. The third thing, prayer pain will change you into a man and a woman of prayer. And you will be a prayer. And I want to focus on the third part. I'll leave aside an isolated person. I'll leave a prayer person. But I'll make you, I want us to focus on a prayer person. Because that is who you and I have to be in this season of trouble in this nation. But this is the problem. Most of us have been praying for this nation. We have been praying for this nation to a point that some of us are getting tired. Because we believe that God is not answering our prayers. We believe that every time we pray, God is just so busy thinking of other nations and forget us. And we have come with sentences that, like, God has forgotten us. We are cursed. But let me say this. God's desire is to heal our land. But he wants us to pray. He wants us to pray, to stand in prayer together as a family and pray for this nation. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Humility, recognize what God is doing, what we are not able to do, and just lift up voice in prayer and ask God to heal our land. Ezekiel 22, verse 30 says, and I thought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The Lord is looking. The Lord is searching among us one person who will stand on behalf of this nation so that he may not destroy it. God's plan still to prosper this nation. God's plan is to prosper this land, but he's still looking for someone who will stand on behalf of this land and pray for it. Another challenge that we do have is that we do not know how to pray when we pray, probably for this nation. The question is, how do you pray? Recently, I've been going through a challenge with my family, and I reach a point where I've been praying and praying, and I was like, God probably is not answering. And God revealed something to me that was very different, and I want to shock you with that thing. And I'm telling you with confidence that God does not answer prayers. God does not answer prayer. But God answers the little faith in your prayers. And that is what God is looking for in your prayer. A little faith. He's not looking for your prayers. He's looking for a little faith in your prayer so that he can answer that little faith. It was a shocking moment when God spoke to me and said, Serge, I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how many hours you pray. But if in your prayer there is no faith, a little of it, then your prayers will not be answered. Because I'm looking for that little faith in it so that I can answer you. So what is the purpose of prayer? Because most of us have been praying in a way that I don't know how to express it. But let me say this. The purpose of prayer is not just to solve our problem so that we can live happily, trouble-free, or self-centered life. Prayer is me doing God's will. If in your prayer you are not doing God's will, then your prayer will never be answered. Look for God's will so that you may see your prayer be answered. Prayer does not only give us things, because most of us, we have been praying when we are in need. When we are in need, the time we kneel down, we start shouting, praying. And someone was telling me, please, Serge, don't shout on God. He's not your friend. He's not your... Speak to God. Don't shout on God. Prayer does not only give us things. Prayer shows us things. It gives us the new perspective of God and the new perspective of who we must be in His presence. Prayer should be a tool that allows us to see more on our knees than when we are standing. There are things that you'll never see while standing. Till you go back to your knees, that will be the point you'll see what God wants to show you. So change your way of praying. Change your way of praying. You want to see things happening in your life, your family, or in this nation, in this period of trouble. Change your way of praying. This is what the Bible says in Matthew 6, 7 to 8. And when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition of the as Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Many words in prayer are good, but many words that have meaning, they are more impactful in God, in prayers. And how do we bring words that have impact in prayer is by quoting God's word and pray with them. Quote, say God in your word you said. Take God accountable to His word and pray, and you'll see your word be your prayer being accountable to God. It's like the way you are accusing God, saying, God, it's you who said this. So if you don't do what you have said, then you are a liar. And God is not a man to lie. He will always respect His word because He's always behind His word to fulfill what He has said. What are you speaking today about this nation? What are you speaking today for your family? What are you speaking today about the situation you are going through this morning? If you don't change the way you pray, if you don't take God accountable to His word, then you are multiplying vain word in prayer, and your prayer will not have an impact. You'll keep on seeing it not being responded because God is not in your prayers. John is in a tough season. And he's sending someone and ask, are you the one to come? Or should you wait for someone else? It's the same thing question we are in nowadays. And as we are approaching the elections, do you have an answer to that question? Are you the one to come? Or should you expect for someone else? And if you want to know if He is the one to come, go back to the source of the leadership, and that is Christ, to be informed who you have to choose during the election time. As Christians, I'll keep on saying this, we have chosen Christ to be our Savior. And I want us to hold on that without leaving it. Believing, despite the challenge, despite the situation, that Christ is our Savior. And we do not have again to wait because He's among us. Can we be on our feet and finish this session? God, we say thank you because this is a season, a hard season for this nation. A season of transition, and most of things have been said and done, and people keep on getting confused day and night because they don't know what to choose, who to choose, and who to follow. But I pray that you alone, you will mend our heart and you'll speak to us. Let us come back to you on our knees so that we may see the person that you alone have elected. Either the person we like, either we don't like that person, but also let us accept after the election the authority of the person that you'll establish. But before that time comes in, I pray that you'll tell us again that we are not alone. We are not isolated in this period. We are with you because you are our Savior, the Prince of Peace, and that will never forsake us. We pray also that each one of us will be involved, will be in touch, and will have a role to play during this season. Either we are Congolese or not, you have selected us for this such period to play our role. Teach us to play the role that you have for us in a full way. And that is for the glory and honor of your name. And at this moment, I keep on praying for all internationals who have been involved in this, who have been bringing their skills and abilities so that things may change. They have left their family far away from this land. I pray that you alone will keep them safe, that you'll protect them, and that they will go back. When time will come, they will go back in their nations and say, God, thank you for the time you had allowed me to play in Congo, the role you have allowed me to play in Congo. And today, Congo is what it is because I've played my role. I've been faithful to the calling that you gave me through that nation. And I pray for all Congolese in this church that you alone will continue to give us wisdom and intelligence and safe mind to know who to choose when time will come. We say thank you and we praise you. We give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. And may the Lord bless you.